and fortune and everything that goes with it. I thank you all, but it's been no bed of roses.
What's going on, everybody? This is the Shukri Wright Show special edition, subbing today for Academics on Air, which usually is in today at this time from 2 to 3 p.m., but I will be subbing in for this hour, and it's a special, special, special day on Sunday today. You know, I figured I was going to start the show by playing two songs. That is befitting a very special occasion, and that is, in case if you missed it, the USA women's soccer team have won the World Cup today, winning by the score of 2-0 over the Netherlands. So congratulations to the USA women's soccer team. Let's go, USA. Congratulations to the entire team, the United States, and you know what? If you're a sports fan, whether you are into soccer or not, this is a great day. I'm going to tell you why. You know, not only what the USA women's team accomplished was rare, but it was extraordinary and exceptional at that. Especially when you consider that this is the first time ever, by the way, first time ever that the United States has won back-to-back World Cups. And also, this is the first time that a team has won back-to-back World Cups. And who was that other team? That was the 2003 and 2007 Germany team that won back-to-back FIFA Women's World Cups. So when I tell you that this is truly a very special day for a very special team, you know, I have to admit that even though there has been a lot of headlines surrounding this team, both positive and negative, and for reasons that I need not to get into, especially surrounding Megan Rapinoe. But you know what? This team showed exactly why they are so good and why they have been so dominant in this World Cup run. You can call into the show, as always, as at 855-915-9636, 855-915-9636. So I want to start this special edition of the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 WMFO Medford, talking about this, talk about what they just accomplished and what does this mean historically. You talk about a team coming into this World Cup. This World Cup has had a lot of star power, especially on the U.S. side. Obviously, we talk about, we mentioned about Megan Rapinoe. Don't forget Alex Morgan as well. And you know, a lot of questions had to be asked, especially of course the proverbial question of, can this team repeat as champions? Who are they going to have to go through? Teams like England, the Netherlands, for example. And it's truly remarkable how, when you look at this team, you look at the unsung heroes. Women such as Kelly O'Hara, for example, Rose Lavelle, who scored the second goal, by the way. Who scored the second goal and made it 2-0. And another thing about Megan Rapinoe is that, you know, so much has been made about her, especially when it came to her political stance and her views on, in terms of President Trump. She was the one that scored the first goal that eventually turned out to be the winner. And obviously, Roosevelt put the game away, making it 2-0, scoring the second goal. But you know what? I got to admit, this team really, as the tournament went along, impressed me furthermore in terms of its dominance and in terms of how relentless they were, especially as the pressure increased, because they already came into this tournament with a great deal of pressure as a whole. But for them to perform on such an amazing level, in such an amazing level, that I can't help but admire and respect how this team somehow, some way, was able to perform better even as the pressure mounted, to perform and win it again. And what's amazing is that you talk about the job that the U.S. coach, Jill Ellis, did. Not only being able to coach this talent, but also being able to keep them on an even keel. And you know something? Even when it seemed that this team was quote-unquote cocky or arrogant, which personally, I thought it was absolutely ridiculous that people were reaching to such depths to say this team is just arrogant, cocky. No, 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 no. This team showed a great deal of confidence. And you know something? There's something to be said about sports. And I'm going to say this very bluntly on the air. When you know you have an all-time great team, like the 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup champion United States team had, they are going to, you know, come across as a bit arrogant. Yes, they had a game where they ran out to score 13-1. I understand. Why was there a need? Why do they have to do that? It's not that they didn't have to do that. It's not that they did. They chose to. But simply put, the competitive feel on that for that game just simply did not match the firepower that the United States have. Call it Yankee arrogance or the typical Yankee cockiness or whatever. But you know something? When you're watching greatness unfold, And I think that people don't do this enough, where you have to take a step back, take an absolute step back, and appreciate what we're witnessing. Because, you know, 4 years from now in 2023, we don't know. Frankly, we just don't know if we're going to see this same team again, or if this team is even going to win the World Cup again in 4 years. We don't know. So I'm gonna go out on a limb and say the following. This was the deepest and the most talented roster on an international FIFA World Cup stage, bar none. It wasn't just the stars. It wasn't just the typical names that you know of. You know, you talk about people like the defender, like Ali Krieger, for example. You know, you talk about other players on this team that had the opportunity to shine and the opportunity to come in and perform in the manner in which they did. I can't help but to admire and respect this team and what they were able to do and what they were able to accomplish when the United States had a bullseye on its back from day one of this tournament. This makes it all the more even extra special when you go out there and you have the expectations to win, and you go ahead and you dominate and you win the FIFA Women's World Cup in a manner in which you did, overcoming injuries. The questions surrounding Megan Rapinoe in regards to how healthy was she going to be for this game, considering that she missed the World Cup semifinals with the hamstring injury. And she came up oh so ever big. And that in itself is remarkable. So, with that being said, I wanted to start off the show talking about the United States FIFA Women's World Cup champion team, the United States. Because you know what? They deserve to be talked about. They deserve to be absolutely adored and given so much credit and respect for what they have just accomplished, that I'm not one that's going to shy away and say that, hey, you know what? We may have just seen an all-time great sports team in this country. From a talent perspective, from what they have currently on this roster, it's truly, truly amazing what they were able to do, especially with all of the expectations and being able to thrive and keep such intense focus on what the prize was. And now they have the prize. They've earned it. They've absolutely have worked their tails off. And now today is a day to absolutely celebrate. It's all about the United States women's team today. That's what it's about. For this moment, for this group of remarkable women. And I can't help but to be absolutely proud as an American of what this team accomplished. And you talk about, and you look at just up and down this entire lineup. As I mentioned, I talked about Megan Rapinoe, Alex Morgan, but you know what? Players like Rose Lavelle, Lindsey Horan, Morgan Bryan, Sam Mewis, Tierna Davidson, and you talk about other players such as Carly Lloyd, who, I mean, just just looking back, I mean, she's had three incredibly big goals in this entire tournament. Up and down this entire roster, and I can't forget about the goalies, because the goalies today were absolutely remarkable, absolutely terrific. And you know something? I really believe that when it's all said and done, when all the confetti finally finishes falling from the sky, which they will have when they have their ticker tape parade in New York in just a few days, that this team has absolutely made its mark in regards to just what they accomplished, and as well as in terms of for women, for the sport of soccer in this country, and as well as sports on an international stage. I am very proud of you. I am very proud of every single woman on this United States roster, FIFA World Cup champion. So, and again, a heartfelt congratulations to all of the ladies on this team. Much deserved. Much deserved. We're going to take a music break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Celtics and the addition of Kemba Walker. What does this mean for this team for next season? And there's a potential superstar that could be on the trading block. You may have heard of this guy in recent days, especially in the last 48 hours, but could it be just the right piece to the puzzle for this team to make a move? We'll see. We're going on music break, and we will be right back in a flash.
you ain't got the knack. And then pulled up in my Chevrolet, found out you couldn't look my way. She rides in the back, honey, likes to ride around in style. Hot out tears, gas, get 20 gallons to the mile. Chauffeur driven, honey, know she's gonna drive the fellas wild.
Drive wild, boy.
You ain't got the knack. And then pulled up in my Chevrolet, found out you couldn't look my way. She rides in the back, honey, likes to ride around in style. High test gas, getting 20 gallons to the mile. Chauffeur driven, honey, know she's gonna drive those fellas. Go, 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 little limousine Jeep.
This is Nate Bowman from Calhoun Tree Fire and Rescue, reminding you to keep your stovetop clean. Keep anything that can catch fire, like pot and pan holders, oven mitts, paper towels, and napkins, away from your stovetop. Clean up food and grease from your stovetop and burners. Pot holders and oven mitts should be easy to reach when you're cooking. Avoid wearing loose clothing and never hold small children while cooking. Although kitchen fires may seem small, never forget how dangerous and devastating a fire can be. When in doubt, get out and call 911 for help. For more information, call your local fire department or go to www.c2fr.org.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO. We're going to talk a little Celtics basketball. And, you know, in the last several days, especially since the NBA free agency started a week ago, you know, so much has been talked about how Kyrie leaving the Celtics in shambles after his toxic behavior had such a negative effect on the team this past season. And I really feel that for one player to do such damage to the organization, especially the young players like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and so forth, I think it certainly creates a void in terms of talent. Not in terms of the personality that's no longer there, and a toxic personality at that, but I absolutely believe that if you're a guy who comes into the Boston Celtics organization and you see all of which has taken place this past season, I really start to think that, you know, it's time to absolutely assess the damage. Look at what needs to be fixed and get this team on track. You know, there's so many questions that I have, that a lot of Celtics fans have, especially in the next season. First and foremost, we know that the signing of Kemba Walker, formerly of the Charlotte Hornets, is a signing trade deal in exchange for Terry Rozier and a protected second round pick. That Walker is a good, solid player, a three-time All-Star, and an NBA All-Guard last season. We've seen what he can do. The talent is undeniable. But the one thing that I am looking forward to is him being more of a lead-by-example type of guy, and you're not going to deal with the shenanigans that you dealt with when Kyrie Irving was here. That's one thing that you absolutely can look forward to. And I think it's, hey, you know what? It's almost like just getting out of a toxic relationship with a diva. And now all of a sudden, you got someone who could potentially be good, who is a good player, but the question is he going to fit here? And I think he will. I believe that he does not carry the same garbage and the same baggage that Kyrie did. Now that he's with the Brooklyn Nets, he's the Brooklyn Nets problem. He should not even be, as of this moment, in the forefront and minds of Celtic fans. He's gone. Last season, yes, the damage was pretty telling. No questions asked. No question. But the thing is, the issues run a little deeper than that. And I think this upcoming season, for Brad Stevens, you're going to absolutely get a real glimpse of what type of coach you have. And especially guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who are, and according to many people, who are vital pieces to what the Celtics hope to accomplish in the near future. But the issue is this. Was the issues that the Celtics had a byproduct of only just Kyrie Irving? Or did the young guys, such as Terry Rozier, Tatum, Brown also factor into this as well. And I think looking at this team, that it was a combination of both, but absolutely it was a lot of it had to do with Kyrie. A lot of it had to do with Kyrie. But he wasn't the only problem. So I'm interested to see how Kemba Walker fits into the picture here in Boston with the young guys, and as well as how much of a factor and how much of an impact can he make right away. There's only one way to find out. Feel free to call in at 855-915-9636, 855-915-9636. So, with that being said, my question to you Celtics fans is this, and you can feel free to call in. My question to you would become this. With the signing of Kemba Walker, do you think the Celtics have enough pieces to make a legitimate, bona fide trade to add another guy to play alongside Kemba Walker that can help this team win right away? And I'm talking about Russell Westbrook. Especially in the aftermath of the big trade that happened in the middle of the night, late Friday night, early Saturday morning. I was sleeping when the news broke that Kawhi Leonard was going to sign with the Clippers and somehow got the Thunder to trade away Paul George to come play with them in Los Angeles. So now, if you're looking at OKC, Oklahoma City Thunder, you're looking at this team and saying, hey, you know what? Maybe it's time for a full blown out rebuild. Maybe now is the time. You have the only guy that's still there who is a bona fide superstar in Russell Westbrook. And you have the assets. If you're Danny Ainge, you have the assets to trade, to make a trade. So my question to you, Celtics Nation, and especially to Danny Ainge, is do you go out and make that trade for a Russell Westbrook to have him play alongside Kemba Walker? And I understand that this past season was quite telling in terms of his ability to be able to coach a superstar and deal with the absolute toxic behavior and to be able to put your foot down when needed. That's really going to be the question. If the Celtics were to make such a trade, can Brad Stevens be able to handle that many egos in that locker room? And I think it's a very fair question to ask, especially when you look at what they did, what this team did this entire season, dealing with Kyrie, and especially Brad Stevens. When you consider, for the first time, you had an entirely healthy squad. A healthy Kyrie Irving. Gordon Hayward was back from injury. It took a while for him to really get going. Yet, even with the healthy guys in the mix, you were not able to make it all work. To be able to have it gel together with the young guys like a Terry Rozier and the other veterans that were on this team, like an Al Horford, Marcus Morris, both of them are gone now via free agency. Marcus Morris now to San Antonio, Al Horford signing that deal with the Philadelphia 76ers, which that in itself, by the way, was an absolute kick to the Jimmies. It was, as a Celtics fan. There's no questions about it, if, ands, or buts about it. None. So, if you're the Celtics, if you're Danny Ainge, do you go and make this move? If you make this move, I really think you put yourself among the 10 teams who are absolutely in the conversation to compete for an NBA championship in 2019-2020. Because right now as it is, this team is one move away. And that's actually probably the best news that you got after all that went down this past season. After all the drama of Kyrie Irving, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Me, this whole narcissistic, toxic behavior that he carries and dealing with that drama and that baggage. You're only one move away from being a championship contender, being among the top third among the teams in the NBA of being able to contend, or at least be looked at as, hey, that Boston Celtics team can potentially be an NBA championship contender. Maybe. Is this the right type of move? Or do you cater to a guy like Brad Stevens, who is best known to coach a team that I view as the team that could? Because let's be honest, the 2017-2018 Boston Celtics, after Kyrie Irving went down with that knee injury that ended his season, became that team that could, when it was just the young guys like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Terry Rozier. And as well, you had the veteran guys, Horford, Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart as well. So my question to you, Celtics Nation, is if you're the Celtics, do you go sign a guy like Brian, like Westbrook? You go out there and make a trade, even if it's going to cost you first rounder and maybe Jason Tatum or a Jaylen Brown? Would you make that deal if you're the Celtics? Feel free to call in. Give me your thoughts. 855-915-9636. 855-915-9636. Feel free to tweet at me at Shukri96Yankees. That's at Shukri, S-H-U-K-R-I, 96, Y-A-N-K-E-S on Twitter. And just thinking about this team, do I think that this team is going to be good enough to contend next season? They will contend, but I don't think if this season started tomorrow, the Celtics team is not going to be good enough to compete for a championship. They'll be a playoff contender without question, yes. But with the championship expectations for this organization, I just don't see them being a championship contender with this roster currently constructed. I just don't. You know? So, right now, I wanna leave you guys with this following thought before I go on music break. Do you think, with the addition of Enes Kanter and having a prospect like Taco Fall, 7'6" guy, do you think those two guys are going to be good enough and enough of a factor for this team that needs a big man at center also desperately? That, and I'll be taking your phone calls when we return to the Shukri Wright Show, subbing in for Academics on Air on 91.5 FM WMFO. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO. Subbing in today for Academics on Air. Before we went to music break, there was something that I was thinking about, and I mentioned on the air in regards to Tackle Fall and as well as Enes Kanter. And when the season ended, there was definitely a need at center for the Celtics. And during the opening window of free agency, which was last Sunday it started, that they went out and signed Enes Kanter to a 2-year deal. And I thought that was a pretty good pickup, considering his work with the New York Knicks and the Portland Trail Blazers. A legitimate big who was not afraid to go after the offensive rebound, can defend very well, and could definitely give you a toughness to this team that was absolutely lacking last season. Tackle Fall is a guy who's 7'6", has surprised a lot of people so far, including myself, and in regards to how well he can move, especially for a guy his size, who's 7'6", 310 pounds. I mean, my goodness. That is an absolute tank and then some. So my question to you Celtics fans is this. Is it going to be enough to have those guys, those two men, so far, and as well as Robert Williams, who's going to be entering year two, as a guy who you could say, you know what, you could rotate in and out of the lineup at the center position and be able to compete. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced. Look, and this Kanter is a good pickup. Don't get me wrong. But if you're talking about a guy who, right now, will be able to make a pretty significant contribution to this team in this upcoming season, I think Kanter can be that guy. But I think that when you look around the league, and you're talking about legitimate centers in this league, there are very few of those now. Very few. There used to be, at one point, three guys that you can legitimately say that, you know what? Like, those were truly the best centers in the NBA, and at the time in which they played. Right now, there's only three. Honestly, in my honest opinion, if you want to talk about Marc Gasol, sure. Marc Gasol made an impact this past season, in which he was an absolute factor as to the success in which he had. He was. Especially for a Toronto Raptors team that almost came out of, now I wouldn't say come out of nowhere to win the NBA title, but you know what? He was a big reason why the Toronto Raptors won the NBA title. And dare I say, Miles Turner is another guy who I look at as being one of the better centers in the NBA right now, currently. However, I just feel like there aren't many elite centers left in this league, like a Clint Capela, for example, of the Houston Rockets. There aren't. You know? So if you're the Celtics, I think at some point you gotta consider how are you going to replace a guy and Al Horford, for example, who was your best big last season and left unexpectedly to join your rival in the Eastern Conference. How is that gonna impact your team. It's definitely going to absolutely affect your team moving forward. And not to mention, I just don't think Enes Kanter can duplicate what Al Horford brought to this team. I just don't. You know? So, I really do think, overall, that the Celtics are doing what they can to add a big man at the center position. Because there are so few in this league that are bona fide centers in which that can impact the game both on the offensive glass and defensively as well. The Nikola Jokic of the world with Denver is one that comes to mind. And, I mean, it's truly remarkable how this Celtics team, how far they have come in terms of at the end of 2018 and the absolute sharp fall that they've taken in nearly a year's time, where I think it's fair to say you have more holes on this team right now than you did a year ago. And even last year, yes, you were missing a center. You didn't have a center. But in the very least, you had a guy in which how Al Horford that you knew that you were going to get at least 16, 17 points a game, 7 rebounds. And not to mention the ultimate professional. So the Celtics have a lot of work to do. The summer is young. The offseason is young. So in the little bit of time that we have left, I'm going to shift gears. And in the last 7 minutes, now 6, I'm going to talk about the Bruins for just a moment. I want to talk about the loss of Marcus Johansson for this team. I'm actually a little surprised and disappointed that the Bruins did not do more to try to keep him. And I understand that the salary cap was a factor. And on top of that, they already had restricted free agents that they had to take care of, that they have to work on deals for to ensure that they stay just below the salary cap. And without putting them above. And if you haven't heard, Marcus Johansson has signed a 2-year deal, $9 million, with the Buffalo Sabres. This was a guy who was acquired by the New Jersey Devils last season, trade deadline, and in the playoffs was absolutely critical to the success of the third line when he was paired with Charlie Coyle. Absolutely huge. And now he's gone. So my question to Don Sweeney is this. How are you going to replace his production on that third line? Because the last thing you need is to go back to the beginning of last season, where this team was essentially a first line team, second line, yeah, but you had no third line, and your fourth line was absolutely terrific, but you needed a third line. And right now, you got Charlie Coyle center, but who plays alongside with him is still up for mystery. It absolutely is. And to make matters worse, I really can't believe that when you look at this deal for Marcus Johansson for Buffalo, he would be paid about $4.5 million per season. And I mean, I guess the Johansson camp wasn't going to settle for anything lesser or even a discount from the Bruins. Maybe that was a reason why he ultimately decided to go to Buffalo instead. But either way, right now, if we're being completely honest, the Bruins have concerns. The Bruins have concerns on for that third line, and as well as trying to add another top six forward to this team, in which that they absolutely need the scoring depth. There's no questions about it. Because, like I said yesterday on my show, on the Shukri Wright Show, here on 91.5 WMFO, that can be heard Saturday mornings from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., there are times that top line disappeared and you got absolutely nothing. And if they don't do more to add another top six quality forward to this lineup, I strongly believe you're going to run into issues similar to what we had in the first half of last season before the Bruins went on their run for the Stanley Cup Finals. There's no question about that. And that absolutely will remain to be seen. And, you know, I look forward to how the rosters for both the Bruins and Celtics will shape out, especially as the season progresses. Especially as we get towards training camp. I'm absolutely intrigued in how this will all work out. What Don Sweeney will do. What Danny Ainge will do. Both teams have a lot of question marks and a lot of unknown factors as to the moves that they make, why they make these moves, and how will it impact this team moving forward. I want to give a quick shout out and special thanks to Marissa Donahue, the host of Academics on Air, for allowing me to fill in today in her slot. And I would like to thank all of those who tuned in to the special edition of the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 WMFO. And thank you to all of those who listened in yesterday to the Shukri Wright Show on this very station. You will be able to hear the Shukri Wright Show every Saturday moving forward on 91.5 FM WMFO. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is the Shukri Wright Show, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Have a great weekend and a great